This week's Family Man Show is sponsored by RVShare.com. RVShare makes it easy to find the best deals in your area by offering RV rentals from both private owners and RV dealerships, giving you the largest selection of trusted RV rentals in the country. So if you're thinking about going on a cross-country road trip, camping, or renting an RV for a special event, RVShare makes the whole process simple, easy, and fun. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott, it's going good. I don't know, were you able to see the eclipse down there in Cincinnati?
We were. I saw a little bit of it. My wife and kids all geeked out about it and did their little homeschool thing with making their little pinhole, whatever.
Oh, did they? Wow.
Yeah, so.
It worked.
Yeah, it was cool.
I don't know. My kids were expecting a little more end of the world feeling, you know, like where the sky would go black. And it just didn't get very dark here. It just felt like it was a little more like there was going to be a storm, you know. It just kind of got a little darker, but not anything. And we used our little Walmart glasses, and those were great. But, you know, we saw pictures of people who were like along the real trail, and it was like really dark.
Yeah.
But my kids have said that Indiana is in the next, you know, it just amazes me that whoever does the math on these things can figure out when it's going to happen. They said the next one in like 7 years is going to go across Indiana. So they're already excited about that one.
Yep. That's what my wife was saying too. It's going to come across near Cincinnati. So.
Oh, that's cool. So then we'll be ready.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's make a countdown clock and put it on the website.
Or not. Hey, Luke Ritchie wrote us and he said, Todd, bless your heart. Falafel is already fried because we were talking about falafel last time.
We were actually making fun of people who eat falafel.
I know. He said, it's a Middle Eastern hush puppy. And he said, if I remember back in Phoenix, he'd take us to a place with some great falafel. And Luke, thank you for letting this Hoosier know what falafel is. You know, I kind of look it up. It says that falafel is a deep fried ball, donut, or patty made from ground chickpeas and fava beans or both. And that's why we don't have falafel in Indiana.
Does it taste like a donut?
That's right. Is it like from Krispy Kreme dripping in icing? No. Okay, so.
I had a cold Krispy Kreme the other day. Did I tell you that?
No.
A guy brought them to work, and I didn't get one in the morning when they were warm, but he stuck them in the fridge. And then he was leaving later, and he was like, hey, you want a Krispy Kreme? And straight out of the refrigerator, and they were awesome. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never had a cold Krispy Kreme. But they're
right
just,
out of
well, they're not just as good.
They're not just
as darn close to
it. That is a lie.
It was good, though. It was like a whole different treat.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, so you've had them right off the assembly line, right?
Yes.
That's
like heaven.
A little bit of heaven. A little bit of heaven. Hey, let me just say right now, today's show is sponsored by RVShare.com. If you're thinking about going on a cross-country road trip, camping, or renting an RV for a special event, RVShare makes the whole process simple, easy, and fun. Getting behind the wheel of a motorhome is a great way to explore the country while still having all the comforts of home. Did you know that going on an RV vacation is one of the most economical ways to travel with your family? On an average, you can save up to 57% of vacation costs compared to other forms of travel. RVShare makes it easy to find the best deals in your area by offering RV rentals from both private owners and RV dealerships, giving you the largest selection of trusted RV rentals in the country. You can search through thousands of options from luxury motorhomes to economical travel trailers. You customize your search and compare RV rental prices, features, and reviews, and more. When you book your RV rental online through the Secure RV Share payment system, it's backed by a $10,000 peace of mind guarantee. For more information, you can check out the RV Share guarantee. And Every rental booked online through RV Share comes with a 24-hour travel and roadside assistance. This provides peace of mind while you're out on the road. If you get a flat tire, if you have a question about your RV, someone's always there to help you. So if you think you're ready to take the vacation of a lifetime and spend quality time reconnecting with your family while having the freedom to travel at your own pace, then you need to go to RVShare.com. Okay, well, Scott, we need to stop the chit-chat, and we're going to talk to a dad friend of mine, Davis Carman. And I don't want to get ahead of it. Let me just welcome you, Davis. Davis, thanks for being on our show this morning.
Thanks. It's great to be with you, Ted.
Now, Davis, I don't want to give away all about your family, but my first question, because I'd emailed you a week or two ago, is that you were in like almost the perfect line for the eclipse. How was it?
Oh, yeah, it really is hard to put into words. We drove from Charlotte down to Columbia, and really didn't hit too much traffic going, as some people predicted, but we went to a minor league baseball game. For what it's worth, I thought I was really smart because it's the Columbia Fireflies where Tim Tebow plays. Uh-huh. But I didn't factor in that he'd get promoted to a Florida team, so we didn't get to enjoy with Tim. But we were with the rest of the minor league baseball team and a crowd of 7,000.
Wow.
And when we were in the complete shadow of the moon and we could take our glasses off and look up at the sky with the corona of the sun shining around the moon, it was literally breathtaking. I mean, I call it Psalm 19 awesomeness. I mean, the heavens were declaring the glory of God in a way that you just don't see every day. So it was truly an amazing experience. And I'm glad I got to take my family and enjoy it together with them.
Well, we were just talking right before. In Indiana, it was not a Psalm 19. It was just kind of like, that's it. You know, we were a little disappointed. My kids were expecting a little more like what you saw, and it wasn't like that. So, but we were just talking. In 7 years, we're supposed to see the same thing. So we'll see what happens.
That's right.
Well, Davis, tell us a little about yourself. You know, about your family.
Well, Rachel and I are coming up on our 31st wedding anniversary. So we've been married a while. We have 7 kids. I always like to say we have 2 boys on the front end, 2 boys on the back end, and 3 girls tucked safely in the middle. But our nest is getting more empty. We just graduated our 5th child from our homeschool, which leaves us with a 15 and a 13-year-old boy at the house. So the family dynamics have been changing dramatically since about around 2009, when my oldest graduated high school and started moving on. So they're growing. My oldest is married. They have our one and only grand child right now, a little 18-month-old girl. But they're expecting their second one in February. I don't know if you heard that news.
No, I did not.
Yeah, so that's a nice news. And then my second has a girl that he's extremely sweet on. And so I'm navigating the discussions with him as he literally
really?
Prepares to marry this girl. So it's
really?
Homeschooling for a dad kicks into high gear after age 18.
Well, to all our homeschooling dads out there, not everybody homeschools, but some of you might recognize Davis or maybe his name, but I know you know about his product because Davis and his wife, they own and run and operate Apologia. Tell us a little bit about Apologia, maybe just briefly. It's like a little commercial.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. It's we're actually and literally we can meet our claim, which is being the number one publisher in the homeschool space for creation-based science and Bible curriculum. And then we actually got a number one award through one of the homeschool magazines for our online academy recently. But then we have other subjects that has been part of the business plan over the last 9 years to add language arts, history. We had a constitutional literacy course, some lesson planners. So we're adding product along the way. And, you know, even yours truly has written a few books, but mine are for little preschool kids. You know, that's about my writing level.
Well, you know, and I'll even say to even if you don't homeschool and you're like, you know, your kids are in maybe in a public school and you don't like what's being taught, maybe like in the science, I would encourage you to go check out their website and maybe get some of their books, because even sometimes we'll just have our kids read the books and they're fun to read and they all point to God's creation, in an explicit way. And they've been an encouragement to our family. But, you know, Davis, you kind of gave us a little hint of why I'm having you on the show today, because you mentioned that your business plan, you know, your 9-year business. Davis is like Mr. Intentional Everything. You know, if somebody would say, well, what's your business plan today, Todd? And I'm like, well, I think we're going out for lunch later. You know, I mean, I don't have a business plan. I don't have a business. You know, my brain doesn't think that way. And every time I'm with Davis, I'm really challenged. And sometimes I look like a schmuck around him because he just feels so intentional. And one time we were sitting around a table in Cracker Barrel about a year ago last fall. And we were just talking, and I don't know if Davis remembers exactly saying this, or maybe I heard part of it, but he was saying that he was maybe thinking about doing a talk on, or a book on, or something on things that he did right, or they did right in their home. And that always intrigues me because, and you know, I want to make it clear that I'm not saying, and I don't think Davis would say it either, that if you do these whatever, you know, 6 things, 5 things, that's the recipe for success. But I'm always interested in people who feel like, you know, I was glad we did this because we saw the benefits of it. And so I contacted Davis and I said, hey, how about we talk about those things that you mentioned? And he gave me he had list of his list, and he had breakdowns, and it's just like, I can steal it and write a book, I think. But Davis, tell us about some of those things. Maybe your thinking, and maybe we'll just run down through that list of things that you're glad you did as a family.
Sure. I think it's worth starting something you've taught me, Todd. You know, I think one of the things I really like about our friendship is we really are like iron sharpening iron. And I may help you and challenge you on planning and intention and being intentional and such, but you really help me chill out a little bit and just enjoy the day and play with my kids. So it's not all, you know, planning isn't the secret, you know, to life success any more than winging it. But, you know, it is interesting. Most of these ideas, or really realizations, came about after my kids graduated and moved on from our family, went to college, went to gap year programs, did online secondary education, and just a wide variety of things, including an international mission trip for one of my kids. And it's the conversations they've had with me afterwards about, wow, I didn't realize our family was, you know, that different. And it started when my oldest was a sophomore in college, and he came home during one of the breaks, Thanksgiving or Christmas, and we were talking about how things were going. And he explained this story when he was with a group of friends at school, and they were having a conversation, and he was saying, this one time we were sitting down at dinner, and we were having this conversation about this, and it went on for a few hours, and somebody just stopped him dead in his tracks and said, whoa, wait a second. You're talking about this as though you had family dinners all the time and you had long drawn out conversations frequently. And he, you know, paused and said, well, yeah, that's what we did. And as he continued to tell me how that conversation, you know, went on with these friends in college, he realized that wasn't typical, that there were many families, because we're on the go, we got, you know, too much on our plates, you know, all these extracurricular activities, soccer, karate, music, et cetera. And they're all good, but they send us, you know, through the fast food line, and we're not having conversations in the car. And so one of the items on my list is just that we've been intentional, and we really you have to work hard to make family meal times special and regular. And so, I mean, a real good example is our fall schedule this year. So both, we only have 2 boys at home right now, which seems easy compared to 7, but they're both in soccer, and they're in 2 different age groups, unfortunately. So we knew they'd be on different teams. We were hoping their practices would be on the same night, but sure enough, they're not. So we're gonna have to work our tail off this year to have family dinners together, but it's so important to me that sometimes that dinner is going to be at 7:30 at night, pushing 8 o'clock, but I'd rather us eat late and have us sitting around the table, having meaningful conversation, seeing how their day was, answering their questions, rather than just, you know, driving through the McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or whatever, and you know, doing nothing but feeding our bodies when we really need to feed our souls. So that's the first one, is how we spend our meal times.
Well, and Davison, because you are intentional, you know, because even sometimes that, to a dad who maybe isn't in the habit of that, is your recipe for meal times, you just show up, you sit at your table, and there's food in front of you? Or do you have like this, you know, you don't have an agenda necessarily, do you? Or do you just hang out together and good things happen?
It really is just hanging out. The biggest part of the plan is making sure we're all there together at the same time, which means, like I say, we might have to wait till after soccer practice and we're all home and the kids take a shower before we sit down at the table together. But once we're sitting there together, you know, I love my wife. I love my kids. It's pretty natural. And so, you know, the basic questions: how was your day? What'd you learn today? What was interesting? Tell me about practice tonight. You know, and we're just barely beginning our school year. So I, you know, asked the boys last night, you know, what they learned in their biology class that they were reading. And so it really is just simple questions, nothing deep or profound. Usually at dinner time, I'll read a scripture, but I won't even make that, you know, too crazy or long or boring. Just, you know, read a proverb, read a psalm, just to sort of set a mood, set a tone. Right now, we're actually in Mark 15. I've been reading one chapter a night, but it's taken more than 15 nights to read 15 chapters
right,
of Mark
because
I'm not getting it every night, and we're not having meals every night together. But because we're trying, and it's on the calendar, and it's an important goal for us to attain, we're doing it a lot more often than we would otherwise.
And that's, I mean, because I know some people who are militaristic about certain things, and, you know, they won't go over to someone's house because it's on their calendar tonight that we're going to do this. And I appreciate that about even what you're saying, that, you know, it's not about checking things off the list. It's about putting your family together so good things happen in the midst of that. Well, let's move on to another one. Meal times, you're glad you did meal times together. What's another thing that you're glad you did together?
Yeah, it's a closely related, and that's what I call family worship. Mm-hmm. And so I specifically use that word when someone introduced me to that phrase as opposed to family devotionals. When our oldest was about six, so 20 years ago, and you know, I wanted to teach my kids God's word. I wanted to have special moments of prayer with them. But once I had this whole new idea of family worship, it changed it somehow in my mind, to where even though we've missed plenty of times, and we've always had some time together where we've gathered as a family, and I would say typically outside of the mealtime, where we stop and we just worship God. We, you know, when they were young, it'd last 5 minutes. We'd sing a song or two, I'd read one single verse, and we'd say a short prayer. But it was a way to set the day if we did it in the morning. There's been years where the schedule worked best when we did it in the middle of the day when I was working out of a home office. There's been times we'd do it right before we go to bed. So it's moved all over the map depending on what the family schedule looked like. But the key was, my kids, you know, especially the ones that have left the house, they can look back and say, you know, my dad didn't just, you know, hit and miss on that. My mom didn't just talk about, you know, loving God. We actually spent time together as a family, and we talked about him. We, you know, worshiped him together. And you know what? I think he's a pretty big God as a result, because I learned to fall in love with this glorious God that mom and dad claimed was important. But the family worship time helps make it real and sincere, and helps the kids make it more personal and their own, which is what we all want in the end. And so I typically say this is one of the best pieces of practical advice that a dad in particular can bring into the home routine, is figuring out how to do a simple time of family worship with the whole family together.
And so would you say, well, would you tell the guy maybe who's never done this? And I was sharing, I don't know, a couple weeks ago that, you know, over the summer, because we've had a busy travel season, that we've gotten sloppy at just having times together where our Bible is opened. And so starting school back up is a good, it's like the New Year's, starting all over again. And so we've set our little plan for that as well. So would you say, okay, to the guy who's never done it before, would you go with that, you know, like your small kid thing where, you know, where you just read a verse or a couple verses, or how would you maybe direct me in the right place, Davis?
Yeah, I mean, through the years, we've read devotional books, we've read catechism books, we've read, you know, short, small books. But the tried and true book that we've gone to every time has been, you know, the Bible. So it's pretty easy. Family's probably going to have one. And when they were young, I kept it short and sweet, you know, one verse. You know, what do you think, you know, God's word is telling us in this? A short discussion, short prayer, a song or two. And again, nothing legalistic, but something consistent was the key.
Right.
And where you just sort of slowed down and stopped for a moment and said, you know, God's important. And now as they got older, a lot of those conversations turned into the meal conversations. They were a little longer. The kids had deeper questions. And so you, as a dad, you have to try not to have too much of an agenda because you don't know what kind of mood the kids are going to be in. And they might be, you know, have a load of questions they want to ask today. And so those were great times too, where we just sort of get off track and answer these questions, look at scripture a little bit, have a mini study, so to speak. But I never turned them into a Bible study. It was a worship time. About the closest thing I ever did that looked like a Bible study was we studied Psalms one time when the kids were still fairly young, and we had this notebook that had a psalm and some short description about the psalm. So I would read that psalm, we'd talk about it, and then they would draw a picture of what they understood that psalm to mean. And I really enjoyed it when we were doing that book because the kids got to use their creative talent. It forced them to think about it. It forced us all to slow down and pause. And I even, you know, participated, and I would draw a picture of some kind with the crayons or pen or whatever we had, you know, at the time. So nice and simple is the key, and consistent as possible. Again, don't beat yourself up, you know, when you miss, because you're going to miss. But the key is, you're just like you're going to eat a meal, you know, dinner. Make sure there's a family worship that's somewhere, you know, expected to happen.
Right. Well, let's do another one because we're going to run out of time here. Okay. So meal times and family worship, and sometimes those work pretty good together.
Yeah. Well, there's always a few negative things, meaning this one can be a little bit harder for families, and that is we never had or allowed TVs in the room. So none of our kids' bedroom have ever had a TV in them. We don't let the laptops go in there. And it's basically, how intentional are you going to be as a parent with media? And, you know, it's more than a TV. When you and I were growing up, it might have been the TV. But for the kids,
it's a transistor radio.
Yeah, exactly. But so it's, you know, they can get access to, you know, videos and music and all kinds of stuff in a lot of other forms these days. But it's not easy at all. My kids have resisted me at times. But as a parent, I would fight to keep the TVs out of the bedrooms for health reasons. Just, you know, the kind of, you don't, there's things they're going to come across unintentionally or, you know, being too curious. But more than anything, it's that hum of white noise, of frivolous information. Quite honestly, I can't stand watching TV, you know, too often anymore either, because there's just not a lot of good things on.
Right.
And so we did one other thing when we moved into our current house 12 years ago. And it's proved to be a good thing. But again, I'm not saying every family would have to do this. But on our first floor, where we have the main family room and kitchen, we intentionally did not put a TV. You have to go to the basement, which is a nice finished basement. And that's where the TV is. So usually we're going down there to watch a movie together. But we're rarely going down there just to have some background noise on with ESPN or some, you know, silly Discovery or animal show in the background. And the real point here is fill your kids' minds and lives with positive information, not what the world is going to spoon feed to them and market to them in a way that, you know, is detrimental.
So did you, once TVs miniaturized and they became phones, did you have a, was there a barrier about having their phones in their bedrooms or at nighttime or?
Yeah. My kids, have not gotten a smartphone until they were, 16 or 17. And I actually made them buy their own smartphone. It's going to be harder with my 13 and 15 year old. My 15 year old has one. My 13 year old is on schedule to get one on his 14th birthday, but they don't sell dumb phones anymore. So I'm not real sure how I'm going to handle that one because, his older brother has a dumb phone, the last generation. And so, by the time they got 16 or 17 and they, finally said, "Hey, Dad, can I have a Facebook account?" We've let that happen because the excitement was well over. Now it was just, let me see what it's like, but it's not, they weren't drooling over it. Mm-hmm. And they were still at home, so we could monitor their activity and such. But yeah, we don't let them take the phones to the rooms and, they could charge out in the hallway. And it's just, it's just normal for them. But I know that parents get so much pressure from their kids to have a phone when they're 6, 7, or 8, to have it internet connected, to have it with them all the time in the phone, in the car, et cetera. But one of the toughest decisions a parent can make, and I'm right there with you, I know the pressure, is to say no to the TVs and media in the car, in the room, when they're alone in the house. I mean, let's be a family and spend time together talking. I mean, especially in the car. That's a great time to have conversations as opposed to vegging out with a DVD or a privately listened to, show of some kind.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And it is. And I mean, it's a battle that we all face. I mean, it just is.
So it's tough.
It is tough. Well, how about the next one? Number 4 on your short list.
Yeah, this is one of the toughest ones we've ever faced, but it's on my list because it's one of the best decisions we've ever made in our life. And that is, we just don't do sleepovers, period. Now, I say period, but there are the super rare exceptions. I mean, obviously family and, grandparents and aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. But with good friends, we're able to explain, hey, we don't do sleepovers, sorry. And you have to be consistent. You can't let your good friend have your kids over and the, good acquaintance. But the good acquaintance generally is like, what? Don't you like me? I thought we were friends. And so it definitely creates tension among the adults when you say we don't do sleepovers. But here's the way I've skinned that cat a few times. There have been times when my kids said, they begged. They wrote me 20 reasons why they need to go to this friend's party. And so I listened and, internally I'm thinking, no way in the world. But I remember two different times, two different kids. I took them to the party of a peer, a 12 or 13 year old. And I picked them up at 11 p.m., brought them home. And then I took them back at 6 in the morning, so they could have breakfast with everybody. But I mean, here's my philosophy on this. If you stop and just for a moment and think, what's the best thing that can happen if your kid goes to a sleepover? And then ask the same question, what's the worst thing that can happen if your kids go to a sleepover? I'm going to take the risk of an acquaintance not fully understanding to guarantee my kid is protected with what they see or hear or are exposed to. Because I think it just sets kids up for trouble. It's not a lot of wisdom happening at a sleepover. I'm not against my kids having parties at friends' houses and stuff, but the no sleepover policy has made life actually a lot easier, even with the extreme pressure that's been put on me at times.
Right. Because, my wife and I, we've kind of adopted that as well, because we would say, we were part of some of those sleepovers, and as soon as the lights go out, bad things are talked about. I mean, really some of those things that you were exposed to, happened at sleepovers. I mean, almost every time, you know. Yeah. If it's girls, they start talking about boys. If it's boys, they start talking about girls. And maybe they talk about some other things in between, but I don't remember any of those other things. But again, I know for some dads, you know, they're, and maybe I'll cover that in just a second. How about your last one?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a couple negative things. So let me end on a more positive note. The best thing we've ever done for our family as parents, educationally and for the socialization of our kids, for the spiritual development of our kids, for, I mean, just about every category, is we homeschooled. Now, I have to admit, this was not part of my master plan. So God got me started with the proverbial or providential 2x4 over the head. And I thank God for, you know, just, you know, hitting me that way and getting my attention, because my oldest son spent 2 weeks at a public school. He was not put on the bus the first day, put on the wrong bus the second day, and that just began a negative spiral, you know, where I eventually took him out after 2 weeks, and we began our rocky journey of homeschooling. The first year was horrible. Second year was a little better, and by the third year, well, then I was writing educational philosophies, making plans. Even though I couldn't see how high school was going to work yet, by the fourth year, we were fully committed, and I thank God that now, 21 years later, we're starting our 22nd year, that it has revolutionized my role as a husband, as a father, and all the things I wanted to do for my kids became practically possible when we, you know, got down this path called homeschooling, which I like to call the adventure of a lifetime. It's wild and crazy ride, but I love it.
Well, what do you tell a dad, Davis, because we're running out of time here. What do you tell a dad? You know, he's listening to you and he's like, man, I don't do any of those things, you know, and it feels a little overwhelming. And because maybe he's like me, you know, he's a winger. And when you wing, you don't end up doing some of those things that you've talked about. Where do I start? You know, how about some advice for me, you know, a baby step, or just how can I wade into this?
Yeah, I think the best baby step is to include family worship into your family routine. I mean, your kids are going to follow your lead. So just say, hey, you know, let's gather together. I want to have a family meeting. And then they say, oh, wait, what are we talking about? And then just say, hey, I just wanted to lead us in a family worship, you know, just real short, and have a scripture that you read, have a couple songs picked out, say a prayer, and then just have a, you know, an easy discussion. And then at the end of that, you know, help yourself and the kids say, hey, let's do this again tomorrow after dinner or before bedtime or whatever time you choose. I think that's a pretty easy baby step. And what's going to happen is your heart's going to be drawn to your kids, just like it says in Malachi 4:6. But your kids' hearts are going to be drawn to you, and that's where it'll become something that everybody's going to want to keep going.
That's so true. Well, Davis, thanks for being with us. If a dad would like to get a hold of you or to find Apologia, where would they go?
Yeah, there's three websites I'd give you. The first is the company website, which is apologia.com.
You may have to, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You might want to spell that one.
It's spelled APOLOGIA.com. The second is homeschool-101.com. It's a general homeschool encouragement site. And then my personal blog is daviscarman.com. And you got to spell it right. My first name actually is Davis. And then my last name is like the singer, C-A-R-M-A-N. So daviscarman.com. And you can check out a bunch of my stuff there.
Well, Davis, again, I'm thrilled to have you on. And the reason, just letting all the dads, the reason I like Davis is not just because he and his wife are great people, but his kids are great people, and they've done a great job with their kids. So thanks for being on our show. Thanks for sharing a few of your points.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Always great being with you.
Well, Scott, again, I hope you're not, or I'm not, and that every dad listening is not overwhelmed by maybe some of the things that were talked about, because they are, you know, again, it's not a recipe for this is what a successful family does. But I always love hearing from other families, other dads, just some of the things they did that they were glad they did. And I know you probably have things and I have things, but I like his list. And there are some things that I need to work on. You know, family worship, we're getting started back up on that. Or maybe we've let the no TVs in the bedroom kind of slide, not with TVs, but even letting those smartphones slide into the rooms. And, you know, it wouldn't be hard. It might be a little bit of a fight to say, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. But that's what dads do. You know, we don't have to be popular. We don't take the easy path. We take the path less traveled. And we do it because you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. Today's show was sponsored by RVShare.com. If you think you're ready to take the vacation of a lifetime and spend quality time reconnecting with your family, all while having the freedom to travel at your own pace, then you need to go to RVShare.com. And if you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at Scott at unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, dads. Have a great week.